Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Guys, stop laughing! Statistically, that's actually a far more accurate shot.
Really? I could dunk if I wanted to. I just don't want to break the backboard.
Hey, Greg! Faked you. No! It's 10-7 us. I've been keeping score the whole time.
My favorite player, probably Grayson Allen.
No, that's a travel. That wasn't a steal. I literally just gave you guys the ball because I felt bad for you. I'm open. I'm literally right under the net. Change my mind. I want to be coach now.
Yeah, I'm a shorts in the winter kid. No duh.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, March 3rd. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, it's Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, ripping them loops, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello!
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team. All you weirdos in the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube.
See what happens when we light? They start getting into it.
Yes, apologies for the delayed start there. I guess there was a little bit of an accident on the highway.
Yeah.
From getting here.
Yeah, it's an excuse for me, but yes, it's true.
Oh, interesting. Should we fact check with Danielle? What time did Tass leave today? Subscribe if you're watching here on YouTube. Like the video, comment, share the show. We got a new Poppin' Packs later today. It's been a minute since we've ripped some old basketball cards and talked about old guys. So we'll do that later today. So make sure, again, you subscribe to the No Dunks YouTube channel. Hit that little bell button so you know when we are live. Email in your NBA questions, too, to nodunks@theathletic.com. We'll be hitting the beach in this very episode. Some good questions. One in particular about Zion Williamson, some other fun ones. So we'll get to those later in the show. But we start with the games. And we're going right to Jrue Holiday. With the game winner there, the basket to cap that huge rally as the Bucks stun the Heat, if we're being honest here, 120 to 119 Tass.
Yeah, I'll take you through some of these plays late because it was wild. A few of us played basketball, got to go home and watch the end of this game. What a delight as I snacked on some veggie chips because I was hungry after running up and down. The Bucks down 14 with 6 minutes left. Felt like it was over. Inside a minute after they're able to make up some ground, 48 seconds left, Heat up two with the ball, nothing working for the Heat. Bam Adebayo, kind of around where he makes plays happen, but he couldn't pass to anybody, just pulled up, hit a shot. The Miami Heat got to be really pumped. This is the best version of Bam Adebayo we're seeing recently. He just made a play happen. So they're up four. Giannis goes the other way. He gets an open lane, just misses a finger roll, just rolls off the rim. So 35 seconds left. Heat are up 4 points. Feels good.
Yeah, but they got the ball.
They got the ball, yeah. Basically, you know, take a shot at the end of the shot clock, they're good. But Tyler Hero gets pressed a little bit, two guys on him. He makes a bad pass. Bucks run the other way. Chris Middleton pulls up for a three. Doesn't even go into two-point land. Bangs it. 13 seconds left now. The Heat are up one. Gabe Vincent can't inbound from the sideline. Calls a timeout. Jrue Holiday says, no, that was a five-second violation. Check the time. It was close. Either way, they call timeout, go right back to the same spot on the sideline. Gabe Vincent again. Yeah, throws it into Jimmy Butler, who's being fronted by Giannis Antetokounmpo, so he's got to throw it over that monstrous body. Jimmy catches the ball, gets bumped a little by Giannis, and then Giannis jumps on Jimmy to get a jump ball situation. Eric Spoelstra. Pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the foul?
Come on, that's a foul.
Where's the foul? At that point of the game, probably not going to happen, but it was a bit of a bump. Anyways, tie up. Great for the Bucks because Giannis Antetokounmpo is in this jump ball against Jimmy Butler. He wins the tip pretty easily. 10 seconds left goes to Jrue Holiday. They don't call timeout. Jrue just takes the ball. Spread it out, baby. I'm going one-on-one with Gabe Vincent. Drives in, shoulder into the chest of Gabe Vincent. He goes flying to the baseline. They obviously want to charge. That ain't going to be called. And he hits a layup. Good night, Irene. That's it. Tyler Hero gets the ball and tries to just chuck it up. It does not happen. 21-6 run to end the game for the Milwaukee Bucks. Good things on both sides, but I think some limitations shown by the Heat there. End of game situation or end of game execution. Closing out against good teams, I think, is going to be a bit of a problem for them because they really are just going to rely on who's hot in this game. Sometimes Jimmy Butler, you know, with his offense, the way he does it, I mean, it's a lot like what Drew Holiday there did. I mean, just plow into guys and then hope to score over them. So it's who's hot. Jimmy was 2 of 14 in this game. Tyler Hero had 30 points. They did miss Kyle Lowry, but Gabe Vincent in his place was hat. He hit 5 threes and 21 points.
But so, he looked outclassed in the final couple of minutes here. Gabe Vincent did. I mean, he's a gamer. I'm with you, but that's where you saw. If they have Lowry, they probably do close that game out.
They probably do. Yeah. Yes. But, you know, to say that is Lowry's going to be able to put 21 up, like, not every game. Yeah. Anyways, the Heat are the one seed, but they're 4-7 against above 500 teams since the calendar turned. So it's a bit of an issue. Will they be able to hold on to this one seed? They've got a tough schedule left in terms of their home games, but they played so many road games. They've got way more home games left, 13 at home and 6 on the road. So they should be able to hold it. But I will say they are the best team to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. Absolutely. They threw off Giannis. I know his end game box score was 28 points. But through three games here against the Miami Heat, he scored 15, 15, and 28. He only had four baskets in each of the first two games. And then this one was his high game, but it took him a while to get going. He had four turnovers, and you could see they just throw him off. With Bam Adebayo, that body, and they really do the classic, hey, show him bodies at the top of the key. And I think Giannis would solve it over the course of a series, but this is absolutely the best team to guard Giannis with Bam and everybody. So he had 7 in the first half. And then he got it going and had 21 in the second half. So just some points there, but a fun game, obviously.
Oh, really fun. And, I mean, we talked about this the other day where we had the Heat beating them in 5 a couple years ago. Bucks followed that up by sweeping them, and now everybody just wants a 7-game series between these two squads in whatever round it comes in. And this is a perfect example why.
Yeah, and I'll just go back on the Kyle Lowry thing because Tyler Hero had an incredible game. He had the 30 points, hit the threes. He was money for them. But he had 3 costly turnovers.
Yeah,
he threw the ball
basketball
away.
Basketball is a cruel mistress. It is. They're not in the lead without Tyler Hero hitting 6 threes and like 37-5, like you said. But then these, like that one where he got trapped by Portis and Wesley Matthews, he got too cute with the pass.
Yeah.
That led to the Middleton 3. I mean, he lost them the game they're not in the game without him. It's weird.
And the same thing with the Gabe Vincent 3s. Lowry can do that. He doesn't do it as often, but he can do it. But it's more just that control at the end of the game where it's like, it's got to be in his hands. And Tyler Hero has shown composure. So the fact that he threw away the sloppy pass to Bobby Portis, who went down and got fouled, and then he lost it out of bounds. And then the Heat themselves, whether or not that's contagious, couldn't get the ball in. And then the wild pass did end up costing them. But what I absolutely loved is Giannis. That free throw, man, he hit 4 huge ones for them. Looked so confident. And Drew Holiday, that wasn't the sexiest game winner we're ever going to see. But what I loved about it, he just went straight to the hoop.
Yep.
I love that. He didn't say, I'm just going to try to hit a floater or a mid-ranger. He said, I've got an advantage, and he went in and took it. Heat had no timeouts, and they ended up blowing this one. So the Miami Heat, we always talk about them, you know, being a composed team, and they really weren't in this crunch time. And crunch time, whatever you want to call it there. Jimmy Butler didn't have a good game himself either, which was a bit of a surprise for him. I thought he was going to be one of those, I'm up for this game, but he wasn't really. So huge sort of, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat here for the Bucks, because they looked down 14 points in that fourth quarter, and Miami's offense just ran out of options.
Yeah, there were multiple times I gave up on the Bucks in this one. I was like, they're going to lose it when it was like a 14-point lead with 6 minutes left. I'm like, Heat played too good a defense. No way the Bucks are coming back here. When Bam hit the jumper to put him up 8, 3 minutes and 30 seconds left, no way the Bucks are coming back. Then he hit the fadeaway, put him up 4, 44 seconds. Yeah. No way they're coming back. Up 3 with 11 seconds left. Oh, they got it. Defense, just get the ball in and hit some free throws. No problem. But obviously, the Bucks never gave up on it, and that to me was like, this was such a Bucksy win. We saw them come back down 2-0 against the Nets last year, down 2-0 in the finals against the Suns. They just have the belief that they're going to be able to stick in it if they stick with it, and they stuck with it the whole time. I loved every time Giannis went to the line, you could hear somebody in the crowd yelling, all day! All day! And it was actually all day, so that was pretty impressive to see him knocking down the clutch free throws as well. I also love a clutch jump ball. I said I was going to make a top five list, but that was when we had two in November. Jaren Jackson Jr. beat Rudy Gobert for one, and Terry Rozier beat Draymond Green for a jump ball. So I guess you're going to add this to the list, though it was Giannis. He should win every single jump ball. Nonetheless, a great win of the jump ball. I think the Heat probably win this game if Kyle Lowry's playing, simply because he gets that call on Drew Holiday. The guy's a star. Yep. We're going to see the last 2 minutes report. That's going to be a charge.
He's the number one.
Getting away with a bump. Yeah,
guaranteed. He flattened Gabe Vincent. He like put him on his ass. That, no doubt.
What do you think the last 2 minute report will say about the jump ball called Giannis jumping on top of Jimmy?
That could also be.
He got hit.
I think that one's okay. I mean, it was
Jimmy fell. Yeah. There was contact, but he slipped almost, down, and then
it was a bad pass. Jimmy had the ball. He was in his possession, but he wasn't really in control. Because he was on the ground and so at that point, people do just jump on the guy.
I know. If there's 10 seconds to go, just jump on a guy, and it's a 75% chance you'll get the jump ball.
The other one, most likely, I think he got away with it. Will they just let that one slide? I'm not sure.
True.
Yeah.
You're talking about,
Kyle Lowry is the king of charges drawn.
Yeah.
I mean, he may get that call because it's a reputation call.
Totally.
In a strange way. But the Giannis bumping Jimmy Butler there, there's always that funny split second. Giannis bumped him, clearly, and then Jimmy's on the ground. No whistle? Jump on that guy!
Because somebody else was reaching in, too. Yeah. I don't know, Wesley Matthews maybe or something?
But give it to Giannis because he can win that jump ball. But yeah, this is a pure Giannis win. The Bucks never give up. They just don't, as they did in the playoffs last year. And throughout games, they always come back. He just chips away. Giannis will never, ever stop. That's why he keeps on talking after every game. We've got to build good habits. Got to build, even if they win 30 by 30 points. I mean, he's a true leader. And on the other side with Lowry, there's no doubt they would have been a lot different. And I talk about their late game offense. So if Jimmy's having a bad game, like he had in this one, Kyle's done that before. If Kawhi's not having a good game in 2019, I'm here, man. And he can be that secondary guy, is here on the bench in those instances. I don't know, maybe. But I guess he would be just if they're going defense. But anyway, they have enough guys. They just are always doing it by committee. They just can't rely on one guy. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, these are those teams that if they're championship caliber, I mean, you just don't see very often, as we've talked about. Are they a good enough ensemble? I don't know. We'll see.
The leader's got to be better, though. Jimmy Butler hasn't been good against the Heat since the bubble, basically. As soon as if he has the jumper going, he's going to have a chance, but he doesn't draw enough fouls against the Bucks because, they've got size as well to kind of challenge him and are obviously a good defensive team to stay in front of him. He's at 13.5 points per game on 33% shooting in two games against the Bucks this year. He was outscored by Bryn Forbes in the playoffs last year. So if the Heat are going to beat the Bucks when it comes playoff time, he's got to be, 20-something a game, getting to the line at least 8 times, I would imagine. And, man, what a shot by Chris Middleton to pull that up. The ball's on this guy. We were talking about he took a shot, like a game-tying 3-point attempt against the 76ers right before the All-Star break, and we're like, hey, that's just how it is for the Bucks. Middleton's going to be the guy to take the big shots. You got to ride the Ferris wheel.
Yep.
The Ferris wheel was up last night. It went in. That's just how it is.
That's why this would be such an awesome series, though. Like you guys were saying, the Bucks do a great job of neutralizing Jimmy Butler. The Heat do a better job than most teams of trying to neutralize Giannis, and that's what makes it like all these other guys, your Middletons, your Lowrys, your Heroes, your Bams, your Drew Holidays. It's who steps up in a potential, hopefully, long series. I hope we get this. Before we move on to the next game, let's just get a quick report on the run last night. I couldn't make it out there, but the three of you guys were hooping. How did it go?
Wow, second story.
I mean, we'll get to Harden in a second here. The second game, put the lower third up, JD. Give me the highlights. I just want the quick highlights. So does everybody watching and listening later.
Well, Trey was going for a beef last night, and I said, you know what? I'm beefing too. I thought I'm going to beef.
So now we have two guys in our pickup run yelling out how many rebounds we're grabbing.
The problem is Russell Westbrook is right. He's had a bad season. Let's give him some credit, because he said if everyone could do what he's doing in terms of getting triple doubles and getting the rebounds, they'd do it. I tried to beef last night. I think I got 3 rebounds.
Oh jeez.
So I decided to tweak it a little bit mid sort of run there. I had 2 screen assists.
Oh god.
I had a Kobe assist, and I had 2 hockey assists. So I'm going the hustle stats. That's my angle here.
Right. Was the jumper not falling last night?
I think we were in our first 5 games. Trey and I were on the same team.
Oh, okay.
And then the legs got a little heavy.
Yep.
And uh, I, I did the worst thing I could do after we finally sat down. I was like, I'm just going to sit out again. Couldn't get back up after that.
Yeah. We're too old for that stuff. You got to keep playing.
You got to keep
the train moving.
Yeah.
What about you? How many screen assists did you have?
I sucked. I wasn't keeping my screen assists. These guys were playing basketball. These guys were playing basketball. I wasn't. Unfortunately, I was trying to find Josh Primo, as Trey called him. A very young guy out there.
Oh, really? There's some youth out there, were there?
This kid maybe was 12 years old.
Yeah.
He only played a couple of games. He only
when
numbers were low, he played a couple of games, okay. But
Santos cooked him a couple of times too.
I hope so.
Santos ripped the ball out of his hands. I was like, come on, man. Santos like setting screens on the guy. That was awesome.
I mean, speaking of flexing, Trey hit a game winner. He went through a guy, Drew Holiday style.
Ooh.
Double flex. Both arms came out.
Last 2 minute report's going to show an offensive foul, though.
It's going to show an and one, I'll tell you that.
All right.
That was a good
25
one.
Boards for your boy, JD.
That's 25.
Amazing.
Hot beef.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Jackson asked me this morning randomly, are those guys good at basketball? Referring to the four of you. I was like, well, they're old. But I honestly I'm like Lee's good at shooting.
The answer is yes. I mean, like, but like, obviously we're not playing college basketball level stuff here, but we're not like, to me, if you're bad at basketball, it's like you can't dribble and you obviously can't shoot and nobody wants you.
Bad at basketball.
You're rusty right now.
Yeah, I'm totally rusty.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was trying to see it through his eyes. Would he think you were good? Like, if I say you're good,
right,
and then he comes and see you play, and he'd be like, Dad, I thought you said these guys were
good. I don't know what I mean? Your son's ass.
He's got a couple of inches these days. You'll get him now, but in a year or two time, I can see him. Yeah. If he's the baller in the family. Yeah.
Well, if you had a 12-year-old there last night, maybe I'll send him over there.
There we go.
I mean, Skeet's without the facial hair now.
Yeah, I look like I'm 12 years old.
You can pass for you.
Yeah, the reason I didn't make the run last night is I was shaving.
Plucking each individual hair. Yeah.
You passed your hair on to Lee, who obviously washed his hair after the game, right? You're flowing. Look at that.
Man.
Look at those locks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a lot of hair.
You want to give us a giddy real quick here?
Oh, why not? Why not? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You're still sweating from last night.
Yeah, I know. I was. I'm telling you, well, you know, I pounded the water last night because the last
like
time
Joel
I did
Like Joel Embiid style?
Yeah.
Crushing it? Good.
Because you know how you, I said I woke up dehydrated after last night. I pounded it last night, but I had to pee a few times last night. So I don't know where the middle ground is here. It's like,
well, I hope you mounted the toilet the correct way during the night.
Of course I did. Okay. That's the only way to do it.
Good. Harden shines in his Philly home debut, 26 points versus the Knicks. It was not a great first half from Philadelphia, really, or for Harden. They turned it on in the second half. They did a really good job, I thought, of like showing a bunch of bodies at Randall, bunch of bodies at RJ Barrett. Make any other Knick beat you. Like, have at it. And they didn't. But they're now 3-0 with Harden in the lineup, so they're happy. Everybody's got these fake beards that they're buying for $5 there in Philadelphia. They're 38-23. But Embiid, 27-12. 4 assists, steal, 2 blocks. Harden, 26-9-9. So he flirted with the triple-double. Yes, you can say that when you're in 9-9 in those other categories. And then Tyrese Maxey, again, slow start. Got it going. Started attacking. 25 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. So he was great. But the honeymoon is now over. Now they're coming back to real life.
Right.
Here we go. Next 4 games are against the Cavs, the Heat, Bulls, and the Nets. So we'll see how this goes now. But so far, so great for Harden and Philadelphia. Because, you know, again, it was pretty ugly in the first half. They're down, and then they sort of crushed them in the second.
It's so much about Maxey for me.
He's been amazing.
Because they're going to be – every team's going to be watching Embiid. And Harden and Maxey playing that third guy. Yes, he's the number three guy. He's just so decisive when he gets the ball. And that's the biggest thing, is he's a direct line guy. We're talking about all these guys going through chess. Trey Kirby going through chess. in game number one, Drew Holiday going through chess. Tyrese Maxey just decides, I'm going to the hoop. And the speed is a big factor.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, like, Harden and Doc Rivers, and they got on him. in the first half. Like, Harden especially was like, you got to be way more aggressive. Like, where's that Maxi I saw the first two games?
Yeah, I mean, this is different. That's a big role for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other notes on Sixers-Knicks here as they played for a second time?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Knicks, so you just didn't feel they would be able to keep it up, and they just couldn't there. It's been a pretty disastrous season here. They haven't got the bodies to slow Embiid down. He didn't have to be super dominant last night. But he was good enough. He was way too good for anything they had out there. And Maxey just flinging the ball at the rim too, and the shot clock going down, get the three. Before the game, I saw a pretty good tweet here from Fred Katz too, because tonight is Wilt Chamberlain night in Philadelphia, where the Knicks will play the Sixers. Here's Tom Thibodeau's take on Wilt, once averaging 48.5 minutes per game in a season. That's my kind of guy.
Was that an actual quote from Tibbs?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Because it sounds like it could be fake, too, from Katz. That's awesome. The only other random note I have from this, I saw in the AP report, Stateside Vodka, which is a Philly-based vodka company, didn't know that was a thing, had offered $25 gift cards as part of a trade-in for old Ben Simmons jerseys. How many do you think they received on Wednesday? How many Ben Simmons jerseys?
I put it in my notes.
Oh, you already have this. I thought it was interesting. Okay, so you sent this one out.
The vodka company. How many did they receive?
People came to the vodka company in Philadelphia, said, here's my Ben Simmons jersey. I will take that $25 gift card. I'm just curious what you think the number is.
30.
Okay.
It sounds like you're hinting that it was a lot. I'm going 4 digits, 1,000.
Oh, too much. It's more than 30. It's 352. Mm. Yeah.
So, decent number.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, that's... A lot of people with Ben Simmons jerseys, and then they don't want them anymore and would like this vodka gift certificate, I guess.
Yeah, because the Grizzlies, when they did the exchange for Curry jerseys, right? I mean, people came in and handed in Curry jerseys. They were only exchanging 300 Curry jerseys for Morant jerseys, but they put the limit on it, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, right.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. So you had that in your notes as well, I guess.
I did.
The game wasn't all that inspiring.
Like Lee said, it's the Knicks. Like, you have to play one half if you're the 76ers at this point. It's going to be fun to see them actually hit some adversity at some point.
Yeah.
So this next week is going to be pretty interesting to watch. That Saturday game in Miami on the second night of a back-to-back, that's a huge one. So hopefully the Sixers don't pull anything where we're like, it's the second night of a back-to-back. We're going to rest Embiid, or we're going to rest Harden, something like that. Play all those guys so we can see you against the real team.
Terry Rozier scored 29 to lead the Hornets over the stumbling Cavaliers, 119-98. Of course, there are some injuries coming into play here, but Trey, Hornets, big win here.
Yeah, a bit of an unexpected result. The Hornets had come in having lost 11 of their last 13. Cleveland, like you're saying, Skeets, not much better, had lost 4 of their last 5 against some pretty brutal teams. Couple of teams really struggling. Maybe you thought the Cavs were going to have the advantage here since Darius Garland was back, but the Hornets just smacked them. 29 for Rozier. He led the way. 5 other Hornets were in double digits. They made 17 threes. They had 32 assists and only 10 turnovers. They even won the rebounding battle in this game. 9-4 on the offensive glass. 45-37 overall against a good rebounding team in the Cavs with tall guys. I mean, they're running Mason Plumlee and PJ Washington, the Chevy Trax of the NBA out there. This was no doubt the best game the Hornets have played since the Raptors blowout, maybe even since they beat the Lakers back in January. But I think the real story's on the other side. Starting to get worried about the Cavs, Tassie.
Tied
with the Celtics now in the fifth seed. They're only a game and a half up on the Raptors in seventh, and they just have not looked like the same team we saw the first half of the season. They've lost to the Hornets, Hawks, Rockets, and Pistons twice in their last 12 or 13 games, something like that. It seems kind of realistic to me that they hit the play-in tournament.
Yep.
And 4 of their next 5 on the road, and they play the Raptors in Cleveland. That's their only home game over their next 5. So that could be a real 4-pointer. Is that what they say in hockey when you play a team, isn't it?
They say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's not fall down the hockey rabbit hole again.
Because you win a win, you get a win, it's 2 points.
Yeah, so, but they get a loss. And,
exactly.
Yeah. Nice. So, that's the thing. The Cavs, the season, I mean, they're still 10 games over 500. On paper, it looks good. They've got most of their guys there, obviously. But a team like the Hornets coming in last night, they really needed to pick up that victory because you can just see them now a game and a half back of the Bucks, who obviously got a huge victory for them. So the Cavs just slipping a little bit out of reach.
That would be devastating. The type of seasons they've had, the feel-good story they've become, the all-stars in Garland and Jared Allen, you know, even like Coral playing well and all this stuff that's been great for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We talked about them a ton. If they were to fall into the play-in and then get you know, beat by, let's say, the Nets. Yeah. Then they're taking on whatever, you know, a Hornets or a Hawks or a Wizards, and they lose that. Like, they don't even get into the playoffs. That would be
devastating.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
That would hurt. Mm-hmm. But it's a possibility with these teams behind them starting to turn it on in the Celtics, Raps, even the Nets once they get Kevin Durant back tonight.
They've definitely hit a wall here. There's no doubt. They've overcome a lot of different walls this season with so many injuries to their backcourt. And it's odd, going into the All-Star break, things looking rosy, home game, our home All-Star game in Cleveland, and then Darius Garland is out for 3 games. He was skipping in the All-Star game, he was playing great, and Jared Allen's there with him, and then he misses 3 games, mm-hmm. which is very, very strange. You don't very often see that, but yeah, he is so important to them, so, I mean, it's an excuse coming out after the All-Star game, but... Yeah, it's a trip up that a young team, I guess, is just having. Caris LeVert also, their number two ball handler, has been out. So that's big. It's mm-hmm. really big, considering they've lost Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio. So this, yes, there's a lot of things happening. And then last night with Terry Rozier just pulling and hitting shots. I mean, the first quarter was rough for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they just couldn't pick it up. I think Garland was a little rusty, but a 38-point first quarter from Charlotte, you get the random Kelly Oubre game. He had 14 yep. points in the first quarter. They get down 26 points to 18 in the second quarter. They just couldn't get back up. 119 points allowed is not Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. So it's a wall. Hopefully they can overcome it.
Yeah, weird game with LaMelo Ball. I was going to say Lonzo. LaMelo Ball playing only 8 minutes. I mean, there's some foul trouble there and stuff like that. But Isaiah Thomas.
He's back.
He's back, baby. And he's on the Hornets, if you didn't know that. And he played 14 minutes last night, hit a couple threes, and chipped in a couple assists, finished with 10 points. So IT's going to get an opportunity here in Charlotte. Yeah.
Was that the third team he's played for this season?
This season?
Is Dallas. That right? He was on the Lakers. He must be up there with Ish. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, Phoenix, Sacramento,
he's got two
Boston.
Rows on, or three rows on Basketball Reference for the jerseys.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot. That's
that
nice.
A lot.
Kings, Nuggets, Wizards.
Whoa, that's a lot of jerseys. I'm looking at it
that's
now.
That's a lot yeah. of jerseys. Yeah.
A lot of different numbers in the mix there, too. Okay, but nice to see him, of course, back in the league and maybe gets an opportunity here as some sort of deep guard on the rotation. An injury, foul trouble happens, he's going to get an opportunity.
Possibly. 11 shots. 14
oh,
minutes.
Yeah, he'll let them fly.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the other games from last night. I'll truck them at you.
Yep.
Touch on anyone that you want to. Suns rebounded without Booker and Chris Paul. They destroyed the Blazers. Brandon Ingram, 33 points. Pelicans roll past the Kings. Blowout. Mitchell and Conley lead the Jazz to the 132-127 overtime victory over the Rockets. So it took 5 extra minutes there. SGA leading the Thunder to a nice win over the Nuggets, 119-107. Probably the most surprising outcome last night. And then Brogdon helped the Pacers rally late to beat the Magic in overtime, 122-114. Lee, what do you want
yeah,
to talk about?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the Kings.
Pelicans-Kings?
Yeah, Pelicans-Kings, because the Pelicans win with the Blazers loss gets the Pelicans a game up into that play-in. That's huge.
Yeah, they're a lock, man.
And the Kings, now I was going to actually give you some trivia this morning, but you mentioned it to the group, so I won't say it, but I won't give
Don't
you the trivia.
It might be JD's tweet of the night. We're not sure. It's not? Okay.
Anyway, the loss by the Kings extends an amazing streak thanks to Josh Dubbo at AP there. The winning seasons in Sacramento with Rick Adelman as coach, 8 in 8 years. Anybody else, 0-29. Now, technically, if they go 18-0, they could be 500 on the season. Probably not going to happen. But honestly, just a complete disaster. I was trying to workshop a joke this morning as well, right? I don't know where I ended up with it. All right. What will happen first? The Kings will make the playoffs, or Prince William will become king? Because he's second in line, right? Now, the Queen, she's still around, but looks like, she's 100. She's getting over. Now, Prince Charles, I think he's waited his whole life to become king. He's definitely going, I'm going to be king for a year or two at minimum. I've just got to be king. But then I think he realizes William's the future. Let's give William the king, hand it over. So he'll, what's that word, JD, when you not abstain, but it's like...
Abdicate?
That's the word, yeah.
Where his sister's really into the royal
family. Oh, is she? Yeah, well, maybe Kenzie can help us out here. I think that's it. Charles is like, there's no way I'm not having at least a couple of years as king, but then I'm giving it to Willie. So I'm saying
so what?
Okay. 3 or 4 years, right? The Queen, she's okay, but, she's old. And once she dies, I think I think Charles automatically becomes king.
Does he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Because they have to have someone, a king or a queen.
Yeah, what would they do without a, yeah. without a monarch?
But if he's smart, Charles will say, Willie can save this family. It's
Willie?
A complete...
Yeah. Shout out to Elf.
Big Prince Willie. So I'm somewhere on the line that I'm like, what would happen to the king of England, the King William first, or the kings in the playoffs?
So you should be able to bet on BetMGM. That right there should be a bet.
Yeah.
What happens first? Kings have a winning season or Prince William becomes king?
Yeah.
Do it. BetMGM, are you watching? Listen.
What are the odds? I mean, the odds are...
I'd probably take William at this point.
I think so.
You got 5 years there, Sacramento. Doesn't look all that good to me. Anyway, so I got somewhere.
we got there.
Hey, hold on. You're calling the queen's death?
She's in trouble. I mean, she's. I know she had COVID recently, but even before that, she was really slowing down. This is a jubilee season.
You said
too.
She was 100, but she's 95.
Yeah.
Oh, she's only 95.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Her mother lived to be over 100.
Yes. Yeah, 101. Right. Yeah. But it's been a rough few years here for Lizzie. So,
Prince Charles says Queen Elizabeth is a lot better now.
Yeah, I'm not hoping she dies. I'm
also,
just saying,
this one from Rolling Stone. The queen is, not dead. Long live the queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, update that in a few few months, maybe. We'll see how she goes here. Anyway.
I'd say Prince Andrew's chances are dead. Done.
Yeah. Fuck.
He's Prince been so easy. Those are dead.
Yes, man. You love following the gossip.
No, well, my mum used to be a huge royal follower, so I grew up sort of following it, you know, like the wedding of Charles and Diana. Yeah. I was only 5. It was massive TV,
But, I remember that.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. Yeah. She was great. Diana was great. She could have saved the royal family, but...
So Charles coming in.
Charles is like, give me two years. Yeah. I just got to be king. You know, you can't wait his whole life and then say, no, Willie, you can
sounds
just
like, sounds like a that's Disney true. Song.
I think you're wrong. I think Chuck's going to hold on to that throne as long as he can.
Well, he'll probably live to be 100, right?
Well, that's the thing. If he is king, he's going to have to do more stuff. And I think he's like, I've done tons. Of nothing paid for by the taxpayers.
Okay. All right. I think you love the royal family.
No,
I think he loves it. I used to buy into it.
And then I lived there and I'm like, God, they get away with a lot. I mean, they say it's all about the tourism dollars they bring in. I'm like, not that much, considering how much they get away with and how they get to travel around and. You know, I mean, it was relevant. Sure, it
You're
was.
You're just jealous.
Did you ever buy anything?
Well, when I was a kid, of course.
Oh,
you know?
What about when you lived there when you were older?
No.
Had anything, a little knick-knack in your house?
No. I mean, when people came over, we'd go to Buckingham Palace because it's a cool palace.
You ever make them laugh? Any of the guards?
Can't, man. It's tough.
You got some good jokes.
Yeah, I do. It's true. Yeah.
Tell them this one about the Sacramento Kings.
You got to yell your jokes at them, though, right? They're far.
Anyway.
So Pelicans fans, happy with that.
Very, very happy. Very, very happy there. Great result there. Now, the other game, and it was an upset here. The Thunder won't go into Denver and get a big victory against a team that had won six in a row, 8 out of 9. I think they fell asleep a little bit last night. Now, we also talked last week about Will Barton, soon to become... the 3-point leader all time in Denver Nuggets.
Yes, that's right.
He needed two last night to beat J.R. Smith. Guess how many he shot?
I don't know.
0-for-9 he went.
Oh,
0-for-9. Now, guess what the starting five for the Denver Nuggets shot from three combined?
Something 0-for-28 or something?
1-for-25. So when you're shooting that badly, now their bench gave them some life and got them back into it, but that's where they fell down. They just couldn't hit a shot there. Jokic, you know, he tried his best. He's great as always. But Thunder got a good victory. Now, another thing I wanted to point from in this game, narrative is huge, of course, when it comes to MVP race.
Yep.
And when you look at like what's happening in Philadelphia right now, I think Joel Embiid is probably the favorite for MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a couple of reasons. You know, he's having the best season of his career. They're winning games.
He didn't win it last year.
Exactly, exactly. Now, when I looked at it this morning, excuse me, you know, Philadelphia, 38-23, they could still grab the number one spot in the Eastern Conference. They probably won't, but they could. They're only two games back of the Heat there. And then you look at the Nuggets. 36-26, only two wins fewer, but they're 14 games behind the Phoenix Suns. And I think just the appearance there could hurt Jokic's chances. You know, if he's sixth, even though he might have two or three wins fewer, and say Embiid's second, those things become a factor, yeah. I think, even sure. though the wins are, you know, almost identical.
I believe Giannis passed Jokic, too, for PER, like mm-hmm. the highest, best player efficiency rating of all time in one season. Jokic,
what are the nerds going to do?
Yeah, so yeah. I saw that happen as well.
That
I
happened.
Mean, not that this, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those They're weird sort of amazing. Weird things. I think right now, though, it's certainly, to me, it's probably, I've got Embiid, Giannis, Jokic in my sort of okay. top three
if,
right
if
now.
If the season ended right
yes.
now?
Yes,
yeah, you, would you agree with that, Trey? Is that how your vote would go? If it was done right now. We got 6 weeks still to go. But
Yeah, I think I'm about in the same spot. Maybe you switch Jokic for Giannis at number two, just because, I mean, the line he's put up for this season is honestly incredible. And like we've talked about a billion times, he's missing his number two and number three guys. Just look at how they played last night. 22 for Jokic. The rest of the starters had 27 combined. He's not getting a ton of help out there, or at least not reliably getting the same kind of help that Embiid has. And maybe Embiid's chances here take a little bit of a hit now that he actually has another MVP playing on the same team. I can see Embiid's numbers falling off during the last 20 games here, just as he doesn't have to do quite as much and probably gets to rest some fourth quarters during blowouts. But I do think Embiid is the leader right now. But, you know, give me a six-game win streak, another one for the Nuggets, and maybe we're talking about Jokic taking over the number one spot.
And just to touch on one more game here, just because I ended up watching it, probably because it was the first game and I didn't go hoop with you guys last night, Brogdon and the Pacers beating the Magic there in overtime. One of the worst overtime performances I've seen from a team in a long time. The Magic had a brutal 5 minutes of overtime. I mean, it is gross. Maybe that's part of the plan here. Like, they don't want to win games, but it's hilarious. Like, so many bad turnovers. You know, I think they scored maybe 2 points in the entire overtime. It was rough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Pacers got it done. Not that they're really in the mix here either, but, I usually tell you people to go watch the highlights of this particular game. Oh, catch the final couple minutes of this game. Don't even think about turning on the overtime for this one. It was gross. Gross stuff. All right. Let's take a first break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll hit the beach, answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, back in the Classic Factory. Before we get to answering a few of your NBA questions, Lele, you got some photos for us.
Yes, it's funny, really. This is me, when my first trip. This is where my peak in the royal family got to its highest point, because this is, I am 1981, out the front of Buckingham Palace there with my two brothers and mum. Great. And there I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see,
how now, closer think, you could get at
yeah,
that
Yeah, I think
time.
This is the Tower of London. And you know what they're called there, Trey?
No.
Beefeaters. Who would have thought my life then and my life now would involve beef? You know?
So, I should have mentioned rebounding to the guard that they would have cracked up.
And look at that in the background, that weirdo guy.
Yeah,
there,
paparazzi.
Yeah, it looks like a ghost almost, you know? Like, yeah.
It does look weird. Also,
that weirdo.
I mean, I think I know the answer to this. You're not a twin, right?
No.
Why are you dressed the same as your brother?
Great question. I guess maybe it was a BOGO offer that Mum and Dad picked up those they're Australian, the Victorian Football League shirts at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Yeah, that makes more sense then.
Yeah.
So did you make him laugh?
Nah, he can't. But remember our friend Rick, who was the first ever Goofy.
Yeah.
And he said what kids used to always do to him, first thing, just walk up and smash him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Well, how many times that happens to the old beef eaters?
It's a little different because it is a man.
Yeah.
Goofy is a giant costume
character. He doesn't have a rifle with a blade on the end of it as well.
I don't think a lot of kids are just walking up to the beef eaters and popping them in the nuts.
Well, if anyone knows a beef eater, let us know.
Right. Yeah.
Let's hit the beach. Oh my god, it's been so long. Kept promising. Hey, keep sending in your questions. We'll hit the beach. We'll answer a few of your questions.
Did it.
Well, here we are. Some great ones. I'll get us started here. First one. Hi, diddly ho, no Dunkerinos. Oh, I wish I still had the mustache for that one. In light of the news of Zion Williamson possibly needing another surgery on his foot and his rookie extension pending, it really begs the question. If Zion refuses to allow injury/games played protections on his next contract, does New Orleans still offer him a max extension? Keep up the great work. That's from Johnny in Wellington, New Zealand. Sorry, Lee. No, you don't want us to read any emails from New Zealand, but Johnny, that's a good one. Zion Williamson, Tess, what do you think, man?
Well, I'm looking at it as going into this offseason. That's what I'm thinking about, because they could offer him a 5-year max this offseason, although he has another year on his contract.
Right.
And I say there's no chance they should do it this offseason with no preconditions on it.
Right.
I think that would be bonkers. Just to say, here's a 5-year max. If you get injured, we're just on the hook for 5 years.
Right.
I think they would have to work in some conditions. So if Zion's camp, what's the downfall? Zion gets pissed and says, trade me next season. Well, right now his trade value, although it's good, ain't the best it could be. I'm sure he'd want to play next season. He hasn't played at all, so I think that would help them there. And also, what are teams going to offer him? I just think going into this offseason, I think that the potential negatives, the downfalls, are far greater if you sign him to a contract where he hasn't played in, obviously, less than half the games that he's been able to play in, 85 so far. This is his third season, barely one full season. It's unlikely he's going to play any more games this season. Latest reports, the imaging is good. He's going to get to full weight bearing soon. He's not even at full weight bearing. I don't think we're going to get to a point where we're going to see him this season. How do you just say no conditions, sign him? I say you've got another year to let it play out. That would be my situation, although I know it's the Pelicans and they've in this, small market situation where sometimes you just got to sign guys, but you have them under your control for another year. I think maybe that motivates him to be a better player on and off the court to not sign him this year without the preconditions. I know there's a few ways you go about it. Man, if he signs a 5-year contract with preconditions about his injuries, that's a different story.
It's an easier pill to swallow with saliva or water.
30 cc's of saliva.
Well, what do you think, though, Trey?
I think Tass is right in the fact that the Pelicans are going to want to put in preconditions here, because it's no different than the Embiid situation where he played 31 games through his first three seasons, didn't even play his first two seasons. But I think at this point, people have literally forgotten that Zion Williamson is a bucket. 27, 7-4 on 61% shooting last season. That's why I think the Pelicans would max him out on a five-year deal. Absolutely. And instantly they would do it because they don't attract free agents. Probably the best free agents they've gotten since 2010, Julius Randle or J.J. Redick are probably the big names. So I think you do whatever you can to keep a big name around. And obviously Zion, when he's on the court, is a great player. The problem has been staying on the court, obviously. That being said, a lot of players have had injury issues early in their career that get worked out. Embiid is one. Steph Curry is another one. So I think they would sign him to the contract because at the very least, I think other teams would be interested. You want to have a huge contract. You can bring in a whole bunch more pieces. And if it's a five-year deal, that's more attractive for the next team as well. So I think it would make sense from an asset standpoint, and I think it makes sense because Zion is good if he's ever back.
Yeah, just to put some numbers on this, Tess said it, he is eligible to sign this rookie extension after this season. That deal has to constitute at least 25% of the salary cap, so it's looking at like a five-year, $181 million sort of extension that Zion could potentially sign there with the Pelicans. Would they offer it, though? Should they offer it, or do you think what Tess is saying, maybe wait and get him back and see? Or is this a no-brainer and you just lock it up?
I think at this age, you just have to sort of hope it does work out and he gets himself right because he's so young with so much potential there still on the table.
So you sort of do what the Nuggets have done with Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, basically. And going back, I was reminded about Brandon Roy. Remember, he had the meniscus issues and the Blazers were hesitant, but they went for it and it ended up he couldn't really fulfill that contract. So there's obviously risk there. They'll get it insured, that contract as well. So that's the thing, is what the insurance company probably is saying, listen, we'll insure this contract, but we want to see he's got to play 60 games in three of those first seasons or something like that.
Yeah, but Johnny's question is, it's a hypothetical. He's is saying that Zion's camp is like, we're not signing anything with those protections in there, if that was
I don't think they can really hold firm to that because I don't think anyone would offer them anything without some sort of safety net there for the team. So he's going to get that max offer, though, from somebody. The Pelicans would be wise to be at least try to offer an olive branch of saying, okay, it hasn't worked out so far, let's sign it at the end of this season, so then we know where the future lies.
There's no way Zion Williamson and his team decline a rookie max extension, is there? I know no one has.
Well, he remains a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
though, and then,
I know. You know. I mean, so. I only bring that up because if he doesn't like New Orleans, I mean, it's an easier way to work your way out of a situation. But again, I don't think anybody's done it, right? Not for that money, that's for sure.
No, but even if they do, if he says, I'm not signing, and then he says, we want to sign with this team, the Pelicans can still match it. So he can't. He hasn't got that much.
But you
leverage.
Admit, though, if Zion said, I'm not signing that, that's a hell of a red flag that this guy does not want to be.
Well, then you'd think the Pelicans say, okay, well, we can trade him for a fairly good return.
Any other thoughts here on Zion and the Pelicans? Well, this conundrum?
Like how much different does this feel than Embiid? Because he played, in his first two seasons and now is sitting out his third season versus Embiid, who didn't play in his first two seasons and then played in his third season. So it feels like, you saw him on the court before you gave him the deal, which also had preconditions. I'm living in the moment here where I'm thinking, I don't know if Zion Williamson is going to be able to play. How much is he going to be able to play? Obviously, he's a one of one talent. So it's a crappy time. I don't know. I guess I felt way different after year three of Embiid, even though he only played 31 games.
He didn't finish that season either.
Right. Mm. Yeah, it's totally true. He didn't. I guess it's the body type, and that's playing into my thinking, but even these latest reports aren't good. I mean, every single thing that we've heard this season hasn't been good in his third year. Mm-hmm. While Embiid's was, he looks good on the court a little bit, he was playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next one.
Sure. Hey, all hunks. Ever since the infamous Lebronto series, Masai Ujiri has tried to acquire as many 6'9 players as possible. It's as if he made a solemn promise to himself to never let it happen again. What is something that has happened to you that you made sure would never happen again? That's from Nick Gell, longtime fan from Los Angeles. Trey.
Yeah, for me, it was the picture I posted from my junior year of high school, kneeling with the basketball. Oh, my feet look tiny. I'll never live it down. I'm telling you, it's camera tricks. You got an old, like a 25-year-old printed picture. It's got a little bit of a bend to it. So now, anytime I'm going to be posting a picture, I'm like, I'm examining the backgrounds. I'm like, looking, do my feet look proportional to my knees? I thought I had it all figured out until yesterday. We were looking at our mustache pictures, put mine up, and I said, that's the last time anybody's ever seen my chin. Instantly, several people in the stream team. Chins.
Yeah. Oh, which one?
You'll never see a picture of me again on the internet. That's it!
That's how far you've come, man. That's how far you've come.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know what's under here. But you'll never see.
Yeah. Do you think you'll have that beard forever?
No.
No?
No. My long-term goal, which is coming a lot faster than I thought it was going to, is to go like completely and totally gray and look super old and then finally shave my beard and people are like, wow, you look so much younger. But I'm going gray a lot faster than anticipated. So I don't know, 2 years. 2 years I'll shave, I think.
I confirmed with my mom last night. I sent her a photo of my mustache that I had yesterday for the pick and payoff. I said, be honest, did I grow a better stash than dad did? Because there was, you know, it feels like every dad had a stash at some point, you know, with our age at least. She said, yeah.
Nice. Wow. Nice, man.
Yeah, hell yeah, in your face, dad.
That's right. My dad can't grow a beard either, so in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I struggle growing a beard, but yeah, at least I got him on the stash. What's your answer for this one? What is something that has happened to you that you made sure would never happen again?
You know, so growing up in Australia, anytime you fly internationally, it's like a massive long flight, right? Mm-hmm. And you pretty much have to connect somewhere, and I hate that. So now where I live, if I want to fly somewhere, I'm direct to that city, right? That's it. I'm going. If I'm going, I'm not connecting because it's usually cheaper, a lot cheaper to travel via somewhere. One time we were going to Lima, and my wife said, let's fly this El Salvadorian airline, TACA, I think it's called. And we stopped there in El Salvador and then go to Lima. And I'm like, it's a six-hour journey. The stop makes it like a 12-hour journey. Ooh. You know, and
how much does it really save?
Yeah, and then they've got to transfer your luggage, and it's like, I'm sure it'll get lost. And it was Christmas, right? Get to the airport. You should have seen how many bags. We were pretty much the last ones to check in as well. Hadn't been put on the carousel there. And I was looking, they put mine on, and I'm like, that's not going to Lima. There's no way that is going to make it to Lima. Not at all. Not at all. Get there to Lima. Your luggage didn't make it. I had to wear my father-in-law's Dax around for a couple of days because mine didn't make it. And it was Christmas Day, so the shops weren't open. So I was like, so Roxanne had to go into her dad and say, can he borrow a pair of pants? So I was walking around in his Dax.
Dad's Dax.
Yeah. Dax. And my clothes didn't arrive. Mine went from, we were in Toronto at the time, went up to Montreal. It went to like Winnipeg or somewhere and then made it to Lima like 2 days before we were coming back. And I'm like, that's it. Never ever am I connecting again. I'm going bang straight to the city.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Good answer. Do you have one for this one?
Well, yeah. I'm currently going through a situation that's relevant to this answer. I would never fully trust a body shop that I didn't fully trust in the first place. I mean, I trusted them, though. I had gone to a body shop a couple times, waited there in the lobby while tires got changed, oil got changed. And then when Danielle got into an accident late December, I called them up and I said, oh, yeah, my wife got rear-ended, also front-ended. Can you fix this car? He said, yeah, I can fix it. But it's a body shop that I didn't have a great rapport with. And he said, yeah, 4 to 10 days. Four to 10 days. Oh, if it's on the longer end, it'll be 10. That's business days. I said, okay, I can live with that. That's two weeks in my brain. That's 2 weeks. It gets there. A few weeks later, we don't have the parts. We just can't get the parts. Classic. I'm like, okay. Supply chain, blah, blah, blah. That was never mentioned in the first instance. Then I call Mazda specifically, and they do say they have some supply chain problems. But then they find some parts in Texas, and they bring them over from Texas to put on this car. I mean, really? You had to go all the way to Texas to get a couple bumpers, I suppose. So it's not an old car, but it's also not new is what an excuse was. Because
so, your car's in their tough sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So there's just not a lot of parts out there. And this is, now we're getting into February. So that part was, you know, somewhat believable. There's supply chain problems. But then we get into February, and then the professional lying just started.
Oh,
they're just so good at you know, we'll call you tomorrow, and we'll give you more of an update next day. You know, our guy's not here right now who's working on it. We'll call you tomorrow. Okay, yeah. Actually, we ran into a problem. There's an electrical problem after we took the bumper, so it's going to be two more days. Sure. There was another problem. Call back 2 days later. You know, our guy's not here. Just bullshit after bullshit after bullshit in multiple weeks.
Curb your enthusiasm episode right here. It's not old and it's not new. What the hell is it?
Yeah. It's not even a 5-year-old car. I mean,
there was shock here in the Classic Factory when, after we wrapped up yesterday's show, Tass took a call from Danielle. And, you know, we obviously were like, oh, okay, everything all right. And then you're like, yeah, it's about the car. And we were all like, you still don't have your car back?
Still don't have it. So we're at 9 weeks or so. Oh, last week, we got a call on the Tuesday. Oh, yeah, it's going to be done by Thursday. You can return your rental car on Thursday. So I did that. I went and returned the rental car, and that didn't sit well with Danielle.
Oh, no.
And now maybe I'm putting out our dirty laundry here, but yeah, she was furious with me.
And now it's making a lot more sense why you were late this morning.
No, we went and got another rental car. Oh, geez. We currently have another rental car, but on last Thursday, I guess it was, I thought the car would be ready, number one. Number two, I didn't make a huge mistake. I was still driving Danielle around on the Friday and the Saturday, and we're driving together as a family anyways. Did we need another car for those 2 days? I mean, I got screwed. I was even going to her side of the car and opening it for her. Oh, chivalry is alive.
Very nice.
No, I wasn't doing that. But anyway, it was close. It was close. I thought the car was done. We had to go into the body shop this week and say, what the f*** is going on? I mean, we really had to. We got into a yelling match.
Really?
Yeah. Monday, I guess. It said, your car better be ready tomorrow. It better be ready tomorrow. Here's the deadline. Wasn't ready. Tuesday.
It's like, what do you do, though? Like, there's literally nothing you can do. You can just get angry.
Yeah, you can call the insurance company and get another assessor out there, but really there's nothing you could do. I mean, you could literally, we said we're gonna tow it to another shop as is. He's like, okay, I'll take off the parts that I've already placed and you can tow it to another shop. which we almost did, but then Danielle got a cop in there.
she got
the cops. She said, and then the result of the cop was, I mean, he can't really do anything either, but I mean, it's just to put a little scare into them to fix the our damn car. I mean, just fix it. And so he gave his promise in front of the cop, which
are we dropping the name of this body shop here?
No, because I don't know what this business is.
Wait until you get your car back, and then it's happening.
I mean, he showed me the pictures yesterday. Got painted. Things are happening. It'll be ready today.
It'll be ready another 9 weeks.
No, it should be ready today because the cop really helped. I think the cop really did help. He put a little scare because I don't know if this is a body shop or what business is happening behind this body shop. I think there's a secondary business. There's something going on. I don't know. But anyway, we'll figure it out. Anyway, nine weeks. I mean, whatever. Other people have bigger problems. We have two cars. It's fine.
It's true.
It's fine. We're good. But it was a bit of a kerfuffle. Anyway.
Next question. Hey, no Dunkaroos. As a lifelong Cavs fan living in Cleveland, imagine my excitement when I heard the All-Star Game was returning to my city. The cherry on the sundae was knowing that my favorite podcast always traveled to the city of the All-Star Game. That was several years ago, and a lot has happened since then. I was still optimistic that you would still be coming, but then you announced a virtual watch party for All-Star Saturday night. My heart was broken. As I picked up the pieces, my only solace was the possibility of getting the first email I've ever sent read on the pod. There you go. So my question is this. What is something you looked forward to for a long time, only to be let down? Levert to J.A. Love for 3, Garland. That's from Michael, of course, in Cleveland. Sorry, Michael. Yeah. We had plans to do a live show in Cleveland, but obviously those went out the window. Hopefully we'll be back
25
at an All-Star.
For the top 100 will be in Cleveland. So
there you go. There you go.
Hang in there, Michael.
Come to Salt Lake City, hopefully, for the next All-Star game. But anyway, what's your answer to the question?
Mine's a fluid situation, too, right now. Looking forward to going to Philadelphia this time next week, this next Thursday.
Yeah, March 10th. Yeah.
There's that tiny, tiny glimmer of hope, but don't think it's going to happen. Don't think it's going to happen. Ben Simmons said, I hope, when he was asked if he was going to be playing March 10 in Philadelphia for the Brooklyn Nets. And I thought, yep, because that was like a month ago. I thought, we're going. Let's go. Have some fun. dudes, guys being dudes.
Yeah.
And looks like it won't be going because there's not really much point in going if he's not. I mean, maybe. I mean, we could still go.
He's trying to talk about
Andre Drummond's return.
Yeah. I mean, it'd still be a pretty, you know, like good atmosphere, I think, there. Because Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid have had that, you know, that like that beef in the past. Remember they were doing that to each other? So
waving.
Kevin Durant, I think, is due back
tonight.
Yeah. So he should be playing. So maybe we can still do it. I don't know.
He's trying to talk himself into it.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Trey?
Fast and Furious 9. Bummer, man. Bummer. We did the entire series of Fast Friends last year. It was great to watch with the buddies, to talk about it. We even brought Matt into a few of these episodes. Yeah. I hadn't seen Fast 9, so I was like, this is awesome. I wanted to rewatch the first 8 plus the spinoff series before the final one came out, and then it came out, and it was the worst one that had been made. And that was... that was a bummer, but guess what? I'm still looking forward to Fast 10, even though now apparently The Rock's not going to be in it. Ugh. Did not take well to Vin Diesel negotiating through the press.
No.
Wow. He was pissed. He flexed his arm and the cast broke off. So, yeah, that was a bummer, but it seems to be every other one is good, so maybe this will be the good one.
Okay.
Vinny negotiated through the press, just said, Rock, we want you part of it. That was the negotiation.
Basically, yeah. Basically, like, hopefully we can...
He had a lot more words than that.
Yes, this was a lengthy, lengthy Instagram comment. Yeah. Basically being like, let's put it behind us.
This was the photo we showed where we were like, what's with this alien
head?
Look
how long his head is. Yeah, yeah. I made my head gigantically long just for you. But no. The Rock said, no way. I'm making movies with Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot instead. He stole two members from the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, I'm starting my own. We're spies and we travel across the world.
Mm.
You ever heard of something crazy like that? I was laughing.
Not much better than Fast 9.
Oh, you watched it?
Red Notice?
Red Notice. Oh.
I laughed out loud when The Rock said that he was a criminal profiler for the FBI. I was like, okay, this guy's working a desk job. Yeah, was not great, but I love the globetrotting. Love the globetrotting. Red Notice.
JD or Tass, do you have an answer for this one?
Me? No.
No.
Okay. Something you look forward to for a long time, only be let down. Beginning of the pandemic... thought I was going to a John Legend concert, got delayed a year. August 15th, 2021 is when it was rescheduled for, which is my 40th birthday. I said, that's cool. That's great.
Oh, that's nice.
And they put it off again for another month, and it was a Wednesday. Uh-oh, I'm bringing my wife back into this. It was a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday.
And we were flying to Austin for her brother Yoni's wedding.
Hmm.
Did we have to fly on the Wednesday? Guess so. Anyway, so we missed it, and I made it up to her, though. We're going to Vegas to watch John Legend. Chivalry is alive in a couple months, so looking forward to that.
All right, and that one's on still. I mean, that's locked in at this point.
Masks off. Vegas is alive.
Yeah, Vegas is
like, you
could have
came here March 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a residency, man. He's got to do it. Unless you're Adele, then you don't have to do it, I guess. It's not happening. Adele canceled her residency.
Really? Really? Yeah.
Is it canceled or is it just delayed?
I think. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was canceled for this year anyway.
Summer League. Clutch Sports holdout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Summer League. Wonder if we'll make it out there this year. That'd be fun. It's been a while, right? It's been a couple of years.
July 7th to 17th.
Is that when
it is? The dates.
Oh, it was released the other day.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, just going around the tweets and the
internet.
Going. Yeah.
We're going?
Come. Yes.
Wow. Do a live show, I assume. A couple shows.
I got to get out of this garage, guys.
Yeah, there you go. We got the Bamboo Boys.
Oh.
Let's do a podcast from the pool.
We should.
Poolcast.
Let's do it.
100%.
All right. That'd be fun. That'd be something new.
Do a residency.
Bamboo pool.
We'll live at the pool.
The Cosmo.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I'm in. All right, I think we got time for one more. Let's slip it in here.
Good day, lads. My dream is finally coming true. My 7-year-old son is joining his first basketball team, but here's the catch. I have to coach.
Oh.
With absolutely zero experience, I was hoping Skeetsy could give his top 5 tips for coaching youth basketball. Yours in basketball purity, Luke. Was a long-suffering Knicks fan from Perth.
Hence the good day, lad. Mm. Well, yeah, I'll give you some tips here, Luke. First off, good on you getting out there. And I think we just learned Trey Kirby's going to be coaching some soccer here. in the coming week. No, you're shaking your head. That's
I don't
not
think
happening?
It's going to happen anymore.
Oh, I thought it was a go.
It was looking like a go, but, you know, the way the draft lottery went down.
Oh.
Our girls got split up.
So, oh, so man.
Rivals, wow. Rivals, actually.
Wow, jeez, I can't wait.
So you got to coach two teams.
I offered to coach against Isla, but...
back to the youth basketball coaching. This was my first year doing it. We had a blast. We had a great group of kids, awesome parents as well. Here are my tips, but keep in mind, this was the first year I've ever done this. You got to come to practice with a positive attitude. You know, you got to crank that to 11. Well, like, let's be honest. Yeah,
I know.
You know, it's a commitment. Yeah. I think we had probably, close to 10 practices in total. It happened over a couple months, of course. And there are Mondays where I'm like, oh, God, I don't really want to go do this. And, you know, have a bunch of yelling kids. We coach six-year-olds, so they're quite young. But, you know, you always, once you step in that gym, you just got to bring the positive attitude. So hopefully you can do that. Make the basketball drills fun as possible. Like, we tried to make them into mini games. Because, like, you're doing drills. They're 6 years old. Like, you do want to work on dribbling and shooting and passing all that. But, like, try and come up with what we did, like, we did like musical chairs basically, but like everybody's in the middle and then go do a layup and then get back. Mm. And you know, there's like some like quick eliminations. It's like quick games. We did keep away, the classic, like they had to get around us, stuff like that. So just make the basketball drills fun. I would say encourage passing as much as possible at this age because nobody wants to.
Same thing with pickup on Wednesday night, I think.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. But like, I guess what I mean is, like, I would go overboard on a good pass more than I ever would, like, a shot by one of the kids or a basket. Mm. Because it's, like, nobody wants to. But then you start finding a couple kids that, like, really get it. And they're like, oh, yeah. Like, make your teammates better. And it's pretty cool when you start to see that happen. I would recommend getting an assistant coach if you can. Mm-hmm. And, like, not just because that's what I was with my buddy Grish. But, like, if you think about it, you have 8 to 12 kids on your team. In practice, especially... Like, if you're doing one drill or if, like, you're just doing a layup line, it's so much easier just to split up into both ends of the court and you have little smaller groups because, like, they can't stand around for more than 30 seconds. Yeah. I mean, you guys have kids, so, like, you know. It's, like, just keeping their attention. So just having, like, little smaller groups I think really helped. And then the final one, and people said this on Twitter. I forget who it was specifically, but he said, the only goal at this age when it comes to coaching is to get all those kids to return next year and play again. Mm. That's your only goal. Not obviously to win or to really like even, I mean, you want to improve of course. And I think we did, but like just have so much fun that they're like, they want to play again. So you keep them in the sport. So I thought that was always a good, good tip. I forget who said that on Twitter, but there you go. That's what I got. A little too serious. I took that, but I had a lot of fun. Oh my God.
It's all right. The only thing I ever tell my kids about playing basketball is you better grab rebounds.
That's good.
You better grab it because otherwise it's like you didn't play defense at all and playing defense sucks. So get the boards.
Oh, man. We did a couple rebounding drills. And it was hilarious because they struggled to grab the ball at that age too. But awesome, awesome year. I hope to do it again. So good luck there, Luke. Any tips? Have you coached at all?
No, but it's possible.
Oh, your boys are
now.
Getting to the age.
Now with the masks and the restrictions being lifted, I'm hoping I'm actually talking to the principal soon about that. So we've been talking.
Basketball, I assume.
Yeah, okay. Like it's basically.
I thought it might be Aussie rules.
Maybe mix it up. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, JD's got a tweet of the night. We got pick'em results and a little bit more. Don't go anywhere. Okay, it's about that time in the show to get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
JD has the honors on this fine Thursday. What do you got for Tweet of the Night?
Yeah, so this popped up in my feed right away. It was great. I opened Twitter, all stressed out, as usual, because I didn't have a tweet last night. But this one just popped up, and... it's very, very simple, and it's actually semi-basketball related. It is from What is New York? I don't know. You guys probably saw this making the rounds last night, but here it is. It's just a sanitation worker.
Oh, yes.
Nailing shots.
Oh, that one was amazing.
It's amazing.
How far do you think he is?
I like
a couple car lengths. I mean,
20 feet?
Yeah, 20 feet. So it feels right to me, too.
Anyway, shout out to the sanitation workers out there. They work really hard, and, you know, there's a parked car right there, too. Like, just launching them over the car. I'd be pretty pissed if it was my car. And to be honest, but, you know.
Not really. That's the Steph Curry of sanitation.
You're so right.
Could
you're
be
right.
the Blake Griffin, really.
Yeah, but, it's not Wilson bag, you know. It's not like a Spalding bag. Yeah. It's you don't know what you're dealing with. It's a risk, but
right.
He's probably.
Oh, but maybe he knows. Maybe he knows because he's thrown so many bags of garbage that he's like, oh, this is high quality. I can chuck this 20 feet in the air. Yeah. We're not going to have an accident. Maybe.
He's a pro.
He's
no
a pro.
Doubt. No
pro.
Doubt.
Great one. Fun video. Okay, pick 'em results last night. Heat Bucks was the game. Milwaukee was favored by 4.5. That had Tass taking Milwaukee. That had Trey taking them. They got the win as we started the show with, but they did not cover. They did not win by 5 points or more. So that's a win for Lee and I. I feel like we're picking the same games a lot.
Well, we're 1-1, so, you know, yeah.
Respect. Oh, I mean, last month. We were 10-4. Anyway, good win for us. So, yeah, Trey the only one that's 0-2 here in the early month of March. But what's tonight's game?
Another 4.5-point line here in Atlanta. The Bulls are visiting.
Okay.
And the Hawks are the underdog. The Bulls are favored by 4.5 coming to Chicago. Trey Young questionable, so I'm not feeling good about picking the Hawks. You three should feel good about picking the Bulls, because as was said yesterday at our pickup run, Bulls just match up really well with these Atlanta Hawks. So that's going to be a tough one. Trey, you going down?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be yelling at Vucci, baby? Do something?
He's going to score well tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's gonna take it to Capella.
Okay. Yeah.
You can bet on that one. Yeah.
So what's your reasoning for the Hawks? Just swerving?
Bounce back, baby.
Oh,
bounce back.
Yeah, well, they're a weird team to figure out.
Yeah, after the losses, they've got pride. The question is if Trey Young is not playing.
All right, there you go. Hawks got some points to play with, at least. Bulls got to win by 5. TK will be in the building, so look for the bearded one down at the fortress.
You won't find me.
Why?
I'm good at hiding. I'm incredibly good at hiding.
I thought you were going to be like in a suite or something.
No, if you see me and you yell my name, I'm going to hide.
All right, well, that's a new challenge.
Yeah, try and find me.
Try and take a photo of Trey Kirby down at the fortress tonight. If you do, and you're the first one to send a photo, we'll send you a t-shirt. All right? It's a new game.
Perfect.
Yeah, look for a big guy with really small feet.
How dare you?
I'm wearing my smallest shoes tonight. Laura's like a half size smaller than me, so maybe I'll throw on a pair of hers.
Nice. Alright guys, we'll call it there. Email in your NBA questions. You never know when we're going to step on the beach to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Get yourself a sweet $1 a month athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Yeah, $1 a month for 6 months for new subscribers. Get your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. And we'll be back later today. A little poppin' packs early in the afternoon here on Thursday. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Until then, till we get those packs, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, this is inspired by the Vin Diesel The Rock brouhaha. If you want somebody to do something for you, don't call him your little brother.
Yeah.
Not good. Bad move. Come on, Vin.
Brace the day, people.